Well, let's turn then, as we said, to Romans chapter 12, what we read last. I want to read again verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, the command, the main command in this verse, be transformed, is an imperative. That means it's important, it's got power, it's authority. Be transformed. It's urgent, it's something that's important. And the whole purpose of being transformed in our minds, in our thinking, is that we'll be able to discern the will of the Lord. That's what it says. So that you may discern what the will of the Lord is. And I want to focus much on the will of God. Because we all want to know, what's God's will for me? I hear it so often, especially among Christians. What does God want me to do? What is his will? What job should I take? Who should I marry? What college should I go to? What church should I attend? And so on. And what the apostle is saying in connection with knowing the will of God is, stop thinking like the world. Be transformed in your thinking. Be transformed in your mind. You're too worldly, you're too earthly, you're thinking too much of this life and not of the big important things that are involved, that are ahead for us in the world that is to come. You have their values instead of having other values, other ideals. Change your thinking. Stop thinking like the world. Be transformed. Now, Christians, all people, are really, some of them, very obsessed with knowing what's God's plan for their life. And they get all screwed up about this or that, or the next thing, is this God's will? And things, very often, that God's not concerned about. God hasn't made known. They're not important. There's other things that are important, and God has told us what these other things are, and we'll hope to look at that. I remember being young when we started in the business, my brother and I, and we were told, in all your ways, acknowledge God, and he'll direct your path. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You do the thing that's right, you acknowledge him as your God, and he'll guide you. He'll show you the way. But having read a lot since these days, and having experienced a lot too, I've come to realize that these words are not a promise from God of special revelation. That if you honor God, he'll reveal this to you, he'll reveal that to you, he'll make everything simple and clear to you. It doesn't mean that. It's a statement that the person who obeys God takes the right path. The right path of obedience. It's a statement. It's not a promise of God's special revelation that if you obey him, he will give you special indicators. He'll make known to you. He'll guide you in a special way. It's really a statement that if you follow God, you're following, you're doing the right thing. He takes the right road, that person. Now, trying to find out God's will is actually a pagan concept. Trying to find out God's secret will, which is a secret. It's a pagan idea. Trying to find out what God's plan for you is. To seek God's special direction is what unbelievers in God do. Christians don't need to find out God's hidden mind. Christians are led by the Spirit of God. They're led by his word and by his truth. They follow these directions. They do not have to worry about where they're going. They just follow their leader. Jesus Christ. He's taking care of where they're going. He's taking care of their future. They have to trust him. The Christian life is a life of faith in what God has said and done, in what he promises. It's a matter of faith in what God has promised. It's pagans who are looking for special signs of direction. It's those who don't know God, who don't believe in God, who are fearful and afraid about the future. It's a sign of spiritual immaturity to be looking for signs and indication of what God's plan for the future is. Looking for special signs is an indication of insecurity, weakness, not of strength, not of confidence in my God who's looking after me and has saved me and is protecting me. Christians are to have faith in the promises and in the faithfulness of God. Faith characterizes God's people. They trust in him that he leads them through the paths and the ups and downs of life. They're able to leave the future in God's hands. Be transformed in your thinking. Don't think like the world. Astrologers look to the stars for the future. People look at the newspapers, see what the stars say, and believe it. It's not Christians. I say amongst those who look for guidance to these things, to the stars. Listen to them. Let such people stand forth and save you. Let them save you then. Those who divide the heavens, who gaze at the stars, who at the new moons make known what shall come upon you. Behold, they're like stubble, they'll be burned up. They cannot deliver themselves. They wander about each in his own direction. There is no one to save you. They can't save you. They can't help you. They can't save themselves. It's what I say, the prophet is saying, about those who look to the stars and their movements for guidance and direction. And we read that passage in Deuteronomy for a reason. That anyone who practices divination, there shall not be found among you. Anyone who practices divination, or tells fortunes, or interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a necromancer, or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. That's God's word. Not mine. And so today, fortune tellers, palm readers, talking with the spirits, divination, contact with the dead, all these are means to find some secret future event or some hidden will of God. Well, God warns us against going to these sources to find things out. Christians are led by the Spirit of God. Jesus himself was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, into difficult paths maybe, but you're led there and he'll protect you in that path, in that difficult situation. He is your God. You are trusting in him. You're all right. Jesus was led by the Spirit, not by the stars. Paul had written to the Romans, this passage in passage chapter 8 earlier, that those who are led, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And one certain way of knowing what the Spirit says is by reading the Word of God. Because the Word of God was all written by the Holy Spirit. The people who wrote it were carried by God and wrote it. Holy men of God were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures are the work of the Spirit of God. Jesus equated the Spirit with the Word of God. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God for or because he gives the Spirit without measure. The Word and the Spirit are the same. They do not contradict each other. Paul said that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Spirit, the Word of God is God's Spirit speaking to us. David said, the Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is in my mouth. He has been used, he has been inspired by God. My spirit that is upon me and my words that I put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth. Jesus is the Word himself. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and it was with God. The words that I have spoken to you, said Jesus, they are spirit and life. You see, there is no concept in the Bible as seeking God's secret and private will. Because it's a secret, you won't find it out. Some things are hidden from us. Some things are revealed. Some things are hidden. You won't find it out. You're wasting your time. It's a secret. The New Testament gives no explicit command to find God's will, nor can you find any particular instructions on how to go about finding God's will. There's no place in the New Testament where we are taught to seek a special revelation. It's a world that cherishes that idea. Jesus himself said, did he not? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Now, of course, God can and does give special revelation. But the scriptures, even in the scriptures, even during the period of time that the scriptures were being written, there's two things always to remember. When God gave a special revelation, it was rare. It didn't happen often. It was very rare. Special situations where God's word was not available. But secondly, it was never at the request of someone. When Peter got that revelation about stopping eating food and Gentiles were to be brought in, he never sought it. God gave him the revelation. It wasn't sought for. It was given. And God will give it to us when we need it. If we need it. If he hasn't already given it to us. He never asks us to seek his private will. That is something which is reserved for himself alone. That's why it's secret. Remember, Jesus himself didn't know everything. Jesus, as the Son of God even, himself didn't know everything in his humanity. When the disciples asked him, when shall these things be? He replied, well, concerning that day and that hour, no one knows. Not the angels, not even the Son. I don't know. You can live without knowing everything. You can live without knowing the future. Because you can trust in God. On another occasion, they asked him, will you this time restore the kingdom? It was, oh, is this the time you're going to do it? We'll be that great nation and everyone will see we were right. What did he say? It's not for you to know the times of the seasons, which the Father has fixed in his own authority. The Son doesn't know. When James and John asked Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. You see, they were asking too. They were asking too in their humanism. Jesus said, it's not mine to grant this. I can't help you here. I can't give you this. I don't know these things. A lot of the things you and I want are not important in the big scheme of things. We've got to learn that. We've got to be transformed in our minds. We happen to be thinking the way the world thinks and have the values and the ideals and the desires of the world. God does not want us to know some things. Instead, he wants us to simply trust in him. So what are we to do? How are we to organize our lives and plan our lives? Do we just sit and do nothing? No. Has God not given us some direction? Yes. Has God not made revelations to us? Yes. So let's look at what is God's will for us. Well, God's will for your life and for my life is to obey him in what he has revealed to us. To obey him in what he has revealed to us. It is to trust him for the future and in the meantime to keep his commandment. This is the whole duty of man. In that philosophical book of study, what's happening? Where's the world going? Things are confused. Good people are being persecuted. Wicked people are prospering. Everything vanity and senseless. This is the whole duty of man. Keep his commandments. The Ten Commandments, my friends. You keep them and you'll be all right. You'll have the best life that you could live in your circumstances if you keep the Ten Commandments. They're important. If we do that, we'll be led and we'll have peace about decision making. We'll have peace about decision making. How often we're unsettled. Oh, I don't know if I chose the right thing. I don't have done the right thing. No matter what you choose, friend, you'll have, there'll be pros and there'll be cons, there'll be pluses and there'll be minuses. You'll always be tempted. But don't worry about things that are not really important. Worry about what is important. Are you keeping God's commandments? Are you serving God or yourself? Don't be conformed to the methods and the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your methods and practices. And then you'll know what is the will of God, and what's good, and what's acceptable to him. What's good and acceptable to him. You'll be happy doing it. You'll not have worry and hassle. Have done the right thing. Well, if it's not a sin, do it. If it's not offensive, it's okay. And he's not going to say, make clear to you details of life that are not important. He's revealed to us what's big, what's important. The Ten Commandments, friends. That's the will of God. You keep the Ten Commandments constantly. You'll not keep it perfectly, but try. And the more you try, the better things will be for you. The more peace you will have. The less hassled you will be. I promise. Things will go well with you. Be open and be honest. Be upfront. Don't be deceitful. Don't pretend. That's what he says. That's what the rest of this passage tells you. How to live. Be open and honest. Avoid deceit, lies, cheating, swearing, stealing, greed, immorality, drunkenness, anger, jealousy. Avoid these things. Turn from these things. Let it not be named once among you. And your life will be as good as it possibly could be. And your life will be as good as it possibly could be. You'll be spared many, many hassles and problems. You will. Because God has revealed that's the way to live. That's the way to be blessed. If there's no moral matter, issue involved, then it doesn't matter what you choose. But if there's cheating, if there's underhand, if there's deception, if there's wickedness, sinfulness, yeah, that matters. That'll affect you. And you'll not know where you're going. You'll not know where you are. You'll not know the will of the Lord. This is the will of God. God really only gives us guidance on the big things and the most important things in life. Moral purity, fidelity and faithfulness in marriage, compassion to the needy, joy at the blessings we have, thankfulness to God for His goodness. You know, it's an awful sin not to be thankful. Have you noticed how unthankfulness is in with the murderers in those passages that are condemned in Scripture? And the unthankful. Are you thankful for what you have? Or do you constantly complain about what you don't have? Hospitality, here, it's in the passage in the chapter. Worship. That's important. That's what God's concerned about. What are we concerned about? What will I wear to the wedding? I'm too frumpy in this. What should I get? And you get all screwed up. Will I take the bus or the train? What's God's will for me? It's not really important. He hasn't revealed that in Scripture. What car will I get? It doesn't matter. Provided you don't do an underhand deal. Provided you're honest. We spend most of our time thinking about non-ethical issues. Things that are not mentioned in the Bible. God's not worried about what you wear, provided it's not immoral. Fear. Be afraid about breaking God's commandments. Don't be afraid of what kind of car you get, or what you're going to wear, provided you didn't steal it, or cheat in the deal. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he said, understand now what the Lord's will is. That's the words. Understand what the Lord's will is. Ephesians chapter 5. What is it? Don't be foolish. Don't get drunk. That's what it says. And so on and so forth. And the sort of things that we've got in this chapter. It's the way you live. Not just what you believe, it's the way you live. If you live in an ungodly way, you'll be confused about many things and you will have hassles and problems and difficulties you would not otherwise have. To the Thessalonians, Paul wrote this. For this is God's will for you. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil. Do you seek to get your own back? Not good. Not good. See that no one repays evil for evil. But always seek to do good to one another, to everyone. Do good. Be nice. Be kind. Be helpful. And God will help you. I promise. It's God's word. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's what Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 5. This is the will of God for you. These are the things that are important. And you'll have a peaceful life. Much more peaceful than if you cheated and were unkind. Have you been revengeful? Have you wanted to get your own back on people? I'm not paying back for that. I know when I'll do it. That kind of person. Not surprising if he doesn't know what's lying ahead and he'll want to know, is he doing the right thing or is he going to be found out? Is he going to be in trouble? God won't guide us if we're living in opposition to His revealed will and if we're not repenting. We all repent. I had to repent today. Already. For attitude, a spirit, anger. Repent. Ask forgiveness. Seek to repair damage. Seek to help. Be a blessing. It's there. Not just these chapters I'm quoting just now, but in this chapter itself. It's possible. As far as it depends, live peaceably with all. Never avenge yourselves, but leave it to God. Leave it to the wrath of God. Vengeance mine, I'll see to it. I'm attending to the world. Yes, there's chaos. There's wickedness going on. There's injustice, yes. I'm the God of vengeance. They'll pay, they'll have their comeuppance yet. That's God. Do you believe it? She's faith in what God has said. Have you been kind to everyone? Or have you left someone out deliberately? Well, he's not getting it. How do you live? How do I live? Have you been thankful in all situations, even the hard ones, that it could have been worse? Remember the story of the man who was always saying, oh, it could be worse, it could be worse. And his friends decided to put masks on, and capture him, tie him up, bring a knife out, and then kill him. See what he says then. Couldn't be worse. So they did that. They put their masks on, and they came and pretended they were robbers, tied him up and bound, had a knife, and said, we're going to kill you. Oh, well, he said, I should be thankful. It could be worse. How could it be worse? We're going to kill you. Oh, he said, I could be killing myself. Be committing suicide. Isn't that wonderful? Be positive. This is the will of God for you. This is Thessalonians 4. Another one. This is the will of God for you. Your sanctification. Your sanctification. What's that? Well, he goes on and tells us, abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to control his own body in holiness and honour, not in the passion of lust. Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Do you avoid situations where sexual immorality is possible? Or do you invite such situations? What TV programs do you watch? You know, if Christ is dwelling in you, dwelling in me, then he's shaping our desires. He's shaping our desires. If Christ is dwelling in you, then you have the seed of God in you, and he's shaping your affections, the things you love, the things you dislike. He's shaping them to be conformed more and more to the image of his Son. If God is in control of your life, then he's in control of your desires. And our problem is not that we don't have God's mind, that we don't have God's will in our life. It's that we have the same desires as the world. And we're seeking the things the world is seeking. And we're chasing and running after the things that the world are chasing after. Spending their time and their energy and their lives on. Have we been transformed in our minds? Be transformed. Have a different mindset than the world have. Seek what Christ is. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added. Hallelujah. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put God first. Put Christ first. Seek first the kingdom. And all these things will be added to you. Isn't that wonderful? You see, what's wrong with Christ not first in our eyes? We are. I want what I want. I'm going to get what I want. Me, that's a problem. Self-centeredness. It's what's wrong with the world. When we have to choose something, we pray for light as to what is the most likely to help us be sanctified. We pray for whatever would be most likely to make us, help us to love the Lord and to be sanctified, to be conformed to Christ. There'll always be pros and cons no matter what choice we make. Don't worry about choosing things in the non-moral areas of decision making. Don't worry. As long as you're not choosing sin, it doesn't really matter. Really. It doesn't really matter. We don't need to ask God to intervene in our lives. Don't ask him. He'll do it when he wants. He will. Don't ask him to make decisions for you. Just live like a Christian. Choose what you think is best, the most suitable, the most practical for your purpose. Is it sinful? No. Well, don't worry about the other things. But walk in the way of the Lord. This is the whole duty of man. That's what Solomon said. God chose the wisest philosopher the world has known, Solomon. There was no one like him for wisdom. And he was a philosopher, and he studied these very problems that everyone's asking questions about. All the bombings and explosions that's happening. Shnay justice, people are saying, in the world. He talked to them. There's a violent perversion of justice, he said. And he saw, and he spent weeks, months, I reckon years, in studying it, to write the book of Ecclesiastes, to solve out these problems. What's the conclusion of the whole matter? Fear God. Keep his commandments. Follow Christ. Christ is the word. Christ showed us the example. Christ's life was the perfect example, friend, for you, for me to follow. We need no one else but Christ. Christ himself. Follow him. He became a man to show us the way. To show us the way of righteousness. To be an example that we would follow in his steps. Look at Jesus. Think of Jesus and you won't go wrong. Well, may God bless his word to us. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, your thinking, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, unacceptable, and perfect or complete. And may God bless his word to us. Well, let's have a few moments of silent prayer as we ask God to bless his word to us, and that we would be wise and follow him.